Great. Welcome, everybody, to Planning Commission tonight. We have Commissioner Moss joining us remotely, and welcome to those also joining us remotely and that those are who are here with us in person. Thank you for being here. We will start with public comments, any comments that are not pertaining to an agenda item. If there's anyone here who wanted to have time to speak, this is the time to do it. We will move to agenda item 3, consideration of a plat amendment to lots 28B and 28C of the North Salt Lake Industrial Park. Mr. McNeil is the applicant, and is he here or is he remote?
None of the above.
You're just representing him. Okay. Thank you for being here. What's your name?
Derek Bockel.
Bockel?
Bockel. Derek, okay. Whoa, will you turn down the mic a little bit? Derek Bockel.
Bockel. Okay. Thank you for being here. And Mackenzie.
Okay, so this is a plat amendment application for an existing subdivision known as North Salt Lake Industrial Park Plat C. Back in the day, in 1978, the North Salt Lake Industrial Park Plat C subdivision was recorded with the county, and I have the picture, the plat that was recorded. So lot 28B, which is 450 West 100 North, and 28C, which is 470 West 100 North, were completely separate. Each one of those lots had a size of 1.974 acres and 215 feet of frontage on 100 North. At some point, which I cannot determine the date or the time, these lots were illegally subdivided. So lot 28C was actually cut in half, and the vacant portion was provided to VRM or whoever was the landholder at that time. And I can see record of that with Davis County all the way back to 1981. The applicant has come through now wanting to remedy the situation because those lots were illegally subdivided, and they're wanting to subdivide once again so that there's lot 28B on its own, lot 28, which will now be E, I believe. I can't see that far away, but it was lot 28C, will be standalone, and then that vacant portion of land will be its own lot to be sold and used more efficiently. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Okay. 28, I still can't see. Is that F or E on the?
E and F.
E's first? So, yeah. Lot 28B is currently built out. I'm going to go backwards here so you can see what the existing conditions look like. Lot, what will be 28E, has also been built out. And then, like I said, there's that just vacant portion. The proposed plat does modify the acreage and the street frontages. So lot 28B will be 2.082 acres with 226.7 feet of frontage. Lot 28E will be 1 acre with 100 feet of frontage. And lot 28F, which is already built out, is 0.949 acres with 103 feet of frontage. These lots are in the manufacturing distribution zone, which requires that the minimum lot size be 2 acres, unless modified by conditional use, which is a part of this application. They are requesting the reduced lot size. And a frontage of 65 feet at the street right-of-way line and 100 feet at the building setback line. The proposed plat meets all those codes as far as frontages go. And then, like I said, staff is supportive of reducing the required acreage on this, just based on what the existing conditions are and the uses of those lots. So the DRC is recommending approval of this plat amendment with the condition that correction of all engineering and planning guidelines prior to City Council review. We just barely got the revision today, so I didn't include that, but the red lines consisted of minor things like the signature boxes on the plat, addresses, minor verbiage in the legal description, and then the county requires that the mapping be in NAD 83, and so we just required those be changed. Like I said, I believe they've already accomplished that. I just haven't had time to review the revision that was submitted today. So I'm happy to take any questions or anything.
Great. Thanks, Mackenzie. Any questions from the commission?
Seems very straightforward, but just out of curiosity, on that north-south lot line between B and E, what's the reason for the jogs? Is that just the existing improvements?
I knew someone was going to ask that because I asked that. So if we look at this aerial image, you can see, and maybe Sherry, can I have you use your mouse and kind of show them where I'm telling them? So there is an existing gate in front of where the parking is right there. And there's also curb and gutter already installed with drainage infrastructure. So that line kind of follows that. So it doesn't have to be removed in order to accommodate this new lot. And then up at the back, they, in order to get the 1 acre, because the staff said, we'll support this if you get a minimum of 1 acre, so it's usable, right? They cut back into their property where it's not being used, kind of where the asphalt is back there, and will be able to sell that portion off to be used more efficiently. Now, one thing, I know you haven't brought it up yet, but I have a feeling you will. The parking that is, the parking that is in front of that gate right now is right down where the property line will be, the proposed property line. So they are going to restripe that and just push it over. And we have verified they have enough space to do that. So no improvements will be on that vacant property except for that little bit of asphalt. And when someone does buy it, we'll have to go through the site plan review.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions or discussion? If not, we can move to a motion.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval to the City Council of the plat amendment to subdivide lots 28B and 28C of the North Salt Lake Industrial Park Plat C subdivision located at 450 and 470 West 100 North with the following condition: correction of all engineering and planning red lines prior to City Council review.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
I'll second, Commissioner Tucker.
Thank you. Any discussion or comment on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And the motion passes. Thank you for being here. Good luck with that. All right, we will move to agenda item number 4, consideration of the final plat approval for Eaglewood Cove subdivision phase 15. Sherry, Mr.
Okay.
Cannon as the applicant.
So you, I'm sure, are pretty familiar with all of the phases for Eaglewood Cove 13 through 15. And if you recall, the entire subdivision has 75 lots. I think that got reduced down to 73 after all the geotech work was done. But what happened with phase 15 is that they have 20 lots in the preliminary plan for phase 15. But phase 13, the road that gets built around those lots actually fronts the corners of these two lots in phase 15, and they have some purchasers who are interested in, actually they're sisters. One is buying a lot in 15 or in 13 and wants to buy the lot across the street in phase 15 and won't sign the deal unless the sister can get that one. So that's why they have asked to separate phase 15 into two plats. So they have asked to plat these first two lots. So as I said, that section of Wood Oaks Lane that's on the north of these lots, that's already under construction as part of phase 13. As part of phase 15, plat 1, they will have to build this section of Wood Oaks Lane or loop that comes to the south so that both corners of each of these lots have frontage. So the proposal is to approve final plat for phase 15, plat 1, and then they'll come back at a later date when they're ready to construct the rest of phase 15, but they'll likely do phase 14 first, which is further north of 13. But it does meet the minimum standards. This plat contains 1.6 acres. It has two lots. 1501 is 0.8 acres, and the other one is 0.59 acres. We've reviewed the staff for final plat approval. It meets all of the standards in our code, as well as all of the requirements from the geotechnical report. And it has been given its first review by our new city engineer, and she assured me today that mostly she just found a few typographical errors in the legal description when trying to make it close. So she said there's nothing significant that should hold up the final plat approval, with a condition that they correct all red lines for engineering. But with that, we are recommending approval of the final plat of Phase 15, Plat 1.
Great. Thanks, Sherry. Any questions?
How are both of those streets named Wood Oaks Loop?
So if we had the whole overall map, which we don't have in this one, can you pull that up for us? Because it will show you. It's it is literally a loop.
Okay.
So the rest of Phase 15, it loops around on itself. It's going to present difficulties for addressing for one of the two, one of the 15 of the lots in there. There's Wood Oaks Court that comes off of it, and all of the a bunch of lots get addressed off that, thank goodness, so that we don't have conflicting addresses. But we're trying to figure out which way to address that one. So the lots that are on the north-south part of it will have a south address, and the lots that are on the east-west portion of the loop will be addressed with east numbers. And then there's that one lot that's right here, kind of, we have to decide, is it more east or more north? So that's our only difficulty.
That's fine, because it doesn't have addresses, but you can see here this is the loop. Correct, Sherry?
Yep. And the only lot that we are not quite sure how to address is lot 1515. Every other lot gets their frontage in a north-south or an east-west orientation. So we're just trying to figure out the problem with that kind of with loops, which I don't like them because of this, because of the addressing thing. So if I give that a number that's an east number, that number would, if it's the correct number, would fit between numbers that are between 1313 and 1312. And so if the fire district is trying to find or respond, or EMS is trying to respond, they might be in the wrong part of the loop. So we're just trying to figure out what the best way to loop to address that one is. But we'll cross that one another day.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. Any other questions or discussion? If not, we can move to a motion.
I'll do it. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the approval of the proposed final plat for Eaglewood Cove Subdivision Phase 15, Plat 1, located at approximately 616 South and 1380 East Wood Oaks Loop, subject to the following findings and conditions. Findings are the one, the proposed final plat meets the minimum standards of the Land Use Code for final plat approval. Two, the geotechnical report has been approved by the city consultant and the plat has been designed to meet the specific standards and recommendations contained therein. And three, the plat contains the appropriate notes regarding the individual lots requirements of the geotechnical report, with one condition, that any remaining engineering red line corrections be completed prior to recordation of final plat.
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. And do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any discussion or comment on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. And motion passes. All right, we will move to agenda item 5, report on City Council action.
So probably the most notable thing that I would just like to make you aware of is the City Council and the County Commission have entered into consideration of annexing Area B from our annexation area plan. So that's the unincorporated area between Bountiful and our current boundary at the north end, around 3800 South. It's a little bit that goes below 3800 South and a little above 3800 South. Just to kind of give you a timeline of what's happened, the first thing that had to happen was today. The County Commission held a public hearing to make a formal recommendation to the City Council to adopt or to annex that area. Under the statute, in the annexation statute in section 418, the city can annex a property, can annex an island of unincorporated county without petition from the homeowners or the property owners. If the County Commission makes a formal recommendation to the city that they annex it and makes four findings that there are four that are, I think one is, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, but it's basically that this that the services can be provided by the city more efficiently, that it will create more equity in the distribution of resources for citizens, that that it is an island, which in fact it is an island of unincorporated area, and that it's in our annexation declaration. So the City Council or the County Commission held a public hearing today. I'd say they had about 50 or 60 people there. One person spoke in favor of it. The other persons didn't have anything nice to say about North Salt Lake in any way, shape, or form.
Did all 50 people speak?
A lot did. I don't know if it was all 50, but the room was packed.
Okay.
That was today?
That was today.
And they had
you can watch that
favor?
Video on YouTube. It's about 2 hours long. It's
all right.
Definitely interesting.
And it was only one citizen there in favor.
Yes, but we have received emails from people who are in favor of it, and then we have a active, vocal community group that is very much opposed to it, that if they were going to be annexed, they'd rather be annexed into Bountiful because they like that name better. Basically, that's
crazy.
Some of the things they said, that it's more prestigious and we're really bad people over here in North Salt Lake. We're running the city terribly. We're on the take. I don't know.
It's pretty rough. But
it's pretty rough.
This is where you watch it. Where I just typed in Davis County Commission on Google. And then if you just go to their meetings agendas, they have it right here. And you can either watch or listen to it.
Okay.
I welcome you to do so.
If
no, she's on the planning commission, but not the Davis County Commission.
If you had to pick the top thing floating,
the address changes. They don't want to change their addresses to a North Salt Lake address over a Bountiful address. That's probably.
But either way, they would have to change, correct?
If it's annexed into North Salt Lake, it would have. We would have to have the addresses changed.
Okay.
For practicality. So
currently, they get to claim a Bountiful address.
Yeah, they get to claim a Bountiful address, and they, when we annex it, we'll want the zip code changed so that we get proper credit for sales tax, because now that you pay point of sales on your Amazon orders or anything else you order online, that tax would go to Bountiful because it's keyed under the zip code, basically, is the way that the finance director explained that part of it to me. But for EMS and continuity and make sure we can get safety, everything there, it really would be important that we change those addresses. Long story short, the County Commission did vote to adopt the resolution recommending it for annexation to the city. What happens next is there are a series of actions that the City Council has to take, and public hearing notices and notices. So the first thing next Tuesday, the City Council will consider a resolution that basically says we are going to consider this annexation. And then on next Wednesday at Adelaide Elementary, we will be having an open house for all of the neighbors. Those mailings, postcards go out tomorrow or the Thursday at the latest to every household, and not just property owners, but all the renters. I had to go and get all of the rental addresses so that I could make sure we notified everybody as best we could. And as far as we know, we had to figure out where all the ADUs were, and the mailboxes were a big help on that because it was really easy to tell there were two units there if they had two mailboxes. So that helped us out a lot to figure that. But anyway, that'll be the first step of that information thing. Then we will, before October 17th, we have to send the formal notice to all of those property owners and residents that we will be holding a public hearing on November 15th. The City Council will hold a public hearing on that date. I expect that the planning or the City Council will be requesting from the Planning Commission a recommendation on zoning on this property. So I will likely put this on one of the two October agendas for you to review what kind of zoning that you think that these areas should be. Essentially, the areas in the county have four zoning. They have a commercial zone along Highway 89, the parcels that are out there. And then they have an R1, an R2, and an R3. R1 is similar to our R110. It just allows a smaller lot size. They're 9,000 square feet. So it's like a single family zone, 9,000 square feet. R2 is a two family home, so you can have duplexes in that zone. And also on 9,000 square feet lots. And then the R3 is their zone that allows multifamily dwellings, which is one dwelling unit for every 2,000 square feet of lot size that you have. Those equate somewhat closely to our R110, R17, and our RM7. Not exactly, but...
And I think I brought this up last meeting. Is there any reason why the commercial wouldn't be incorporated into our town center?
That can be a recommendation. The only thing that I would say is that we had the study stopped at 3800 South, and so it makes that town center a bit longer, but there certainly isn't any prohibition for us to consider putting that in the town center. So if that was something that the Planning Commission wanted to do, you could certainly make that recommendation to the City Council. And that's if they choose to follow through and annex this area. So as of right now, there was a lot of uproar against it. We don't really know what the positive side or the people who might be in favor, how many there are. It doesn't go to a vote. It doesn't. They can file a protest with the City Council, but if they file a protest with the City Council and we have the formal recommendation from the County Commission, the City Council can just ignore the protest. They don't even have to consider it. Doesn't go to Boundary Commission.
So what is the impetus of this? Is the county wanting to...
The county has asked us to consider it because it is difficult for them to provide services to this area. For instance, the Sheriff's Department contracts with West Point City and Sunset, I believe that were the two they named. So they have their sheriff deputies that patrol those two cities regularly, plus patrol all of the unincorporated areas and this one little pocket clear down here in the south end of the county. So response times, depending on the call, range between 45 minutes to 2 hours in that area. Now, North Salt Lake has agreements with the county, as does Bountiful. So if there's a genuine life-threatening emergency, North Salt Lake police will respond and save their lives if there's, if there's a situation that needs to be de-escalated, an active crime going on at the time. If it's something like a traffic accident, North Salt Lake will respond, and then our police officer gets to sit there and babysit the accident until a sheriff's deputy arrives. So it could be anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours that officer now is tied up and can't be patrolling the rest of our city. So that's a problem for us. As well as their snow plowing. So when they're plowing their snows, they're plowing the streets, they have to come clear from Fruit Heights is where their shops are. If they run out of salt, they actually come and steal salt from, or not steal, I shouldn't say steal. They come and get salt from our sheds. I don't know what reimbursement agreement we have on that, but because it would be difficult for them to drive all the way back to Fruit Heights to get more salt and then come back and treat those roads again. So that's really the impetus for that, is just to consolidate the services and make sure that those services are being provided in an efficient manner for the citizens. And I just don't know how it's going to go. So
what time is the open house?
Will be from 6:30 to 8:30. And what the way we're going to have it set up basically is in the gymnasium, we're going to have different stations. So there'll be a station for Public Works, and we'll have David Franson and John Rukert will be over there. Mitch, our, what's his?
Assistant
assistant police chief. I can't remember what his title was, assistant or deputy, but anyway, assistant police chief and another deputy likely will be there to answer questions about police response and, you know, crime prevention and things like that. There'll be a zoning table where Mackenzie and I will be. So if they want to come in over and look at a map and say, hey, this is where my property is in the county, it's zoned R13. What would it be zoned here? Or, hey, I have 25 chickens. Am I going to be able to keep my chickens when we're annexed? And like, we can explain to them the specifics of the ordinances, as well as the specifics related to address changing, why we're doing that. There'll be an elected officials area where they can go and talk directly to and meet the city council who would become their elected officials, and some other department. Oh, finance will be there to talk about the tax implications and utilities. For instance, like their utilities, we charge a $7 stormwater fee per residence on your utilities. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. And that pays for the street sweeping that we have in the city now. So we, thus far this year, our street sweepers have swept all city streets 14 times. And so that would be something that would be extended into this area, so that, because we'd be taking over the storm drains in that area, and we want to make sure that we keep those clean. So that's something they're not getting now that they would be getting. Garbage service would be another one. They would get garbage service from the city right now. The neighbors, is my understanding, have to contract individually with a garbage carrier. The county does not do that for them, and they pay a lot more for garbage services. And yeah, so that's the big hot button item that is consuming all of my time.
So can you remind me, what was the why is the county decided North Salt Lake and not Bountiful?
Okay, the reason why is because back in it's a long history of annexations, but in 2002, the state legislature passed a statute that any city that wanted to annex territory, that they would have to create an annexation policy declaration and identify the areas that they are willing to expand their boundaries into. Through a series of meetings, from my experience with other cities that I was working with at that time, the state code asks the cities to get together and agree on the boundary line and not overlap each other. So that's where we drew the line, was at 3450. So between 3400 South and 3500 South, the middle of the block, is where our line went, and then west of 800 West and out to Orchard. And then Bountiful agreed to take everything that was north of that, and Bountiful has done that. They've annexed all of that area where they decided the Mason-Dixon line would be. There was much, the area was much bigger.
Okay.
Yes. So Bountiful's already annexed their area. So even if these citizens wanted to petition Bountiful to take them, Bountiful would have to first amend their annexation policy plan to include this area. Then we would have to amend our annexation policy area to take it out, or disinclude it, I guess you could say, and take it off our map, and both sides agree that that was the most reasonable area for.
Just out of curiosity, when did Bountiful do their portion?
They've been done over the years, and I couldn't tell you the exact dates, but probably Stan could tell. Stan Porter could probably
within
tell
the last 10 years, or?
Oh, no. It's
longer than that.
Yeah, longer. Okay. Longer. This goes way back. Like in 1997, there was a big drive to annex all of this area, including the area that was north of this. And the area used to go all the way down to Odell Lane, was in the county. And there was a group of citizens that were trying to get it annexed into Bountiful. They had a big petition that had, I don't even remember how many, like 388 names or something on it. And they had it all ready to give to the commission. And then before the meeting with the commission, some other neighbors went around and talked to the people who had signed the petition and got 81 people to remove their names from the petition, and then they didn't meet the standard for annexation, and the annexation failed. So there were a lot of news articles. I read through all, Stan Porter sent us all of the news articles so we could get kind of come up to speed on that. And then what the proponents of the annexations to Bountiful did was then break the areas into four annexations and where they could accomplish and meet the thresholds of the 50%, and they were able to annex two or three portions of it that were in the north over the years between 97 and today. But they haven't done an annexation according to Bountiful in 20 years is what the city manager has said, and the city manager has told our city manager, as well as the county planning director, that the city of Bountiful is not interested in annexing this area. One of the reasons that I think it's probably problematic for Bountiful to annex them is that Bountiful has their own power company, and the state statute says if they annex that area and they want to take over that area for Rocky Mountain Power, they would have to buy out the infrastructure from Rocky Mountain Power. And so it would be very expensive for Bountiful, which is why Bountiful hasn't extended any of its boundaries for a very, very long time. That's what has been reported to us from their city. So it seems highly unlikely that will happen, that they could go and convince. But there are a few select residents that are wanting to go and talk to the count, or going to go and talk to Bountiful and ask them to amend their plan and annex them into the city. I think that some sentiment that was expressed during the meeting was they liked having Bountiful addresses because then they could go to the Bountiful dump, even though they're not supposed to because they're in the unincorporated county.
I heard their
driver's license says Bountiful on it, so you know, who checks the guys at the dump aren't going
to. I always have to go get a friend from Bountiful to go. So,
you're about to make 200.
So, Sherry, I think the city of North Salt Lake did a fantastic job with the info. They posted on the website with the FAQs and all that, and the format and info was good. Did you get the sense that the county was pretty transparent with the details behind, you know, why, you know, just the general, it's difficult and costly to service that area?
I think they could have been clearer, but I think they were very much, they reiterated that it's just not efficient, that it takes a great amount of time and resources to service this area, that their general plan since 2006 has stated that it is the county's goal to have these unincorporated areas that are urbanized. So this area, there's Mutton Hollow up near Fruit Heights or Kaysville, that they want these areas that developed in the 60s and 70s before they went and said, hey, we shouldn't be in the development business, we're a county, the development should happen in the city, you go and annex into the city. So that these were developed so long ago that they want to see those annexed into the cities so that they can direct their resources on the other things that the county government is responsible for, like the county library systems and regional health department, regional planning, those types of things. It's really their role, and it says that in their general plan that they should encourage the annexation of these areas. So they've asked us to consider this annexation at this time. Well, see, I got to ask somebody who was around back then. Thank you for that information. That's great information to have. So, but anyway, that's the hot button item right now. I spent all day long yesterday trying to get the address list ready for a postcard that had to go out today. And and now I'm working on that list to make sure that I understand what 50% will be for the threshold for the protest. So I've got a little more work to do to make sure it's all arranged because I had to add in all the resident addresses and stuff. At first we were told by the county that there were 314 residences in there, but today Jeff Euler in his presentation said 358. So now I'm just a little bit confused on where that number is. So I'm just going to go check the number myself.
And we, yesterday when Sherry and I were driving around the area trying to count mailboxes, we found that there were some like duplexes and triplexes that were counted as a single family home. So I think when Sherry comes up with her number, it'll be more realistic, but it is in the realm of 300. And I also, before she might forget to say this, we haven't forgot about the form-based code.
No, we haven't.
We are getting heavily pushed by the county commission and the council, the city council, to prioritize this right now. And so Sherry's only one person, but she hasn't forgot about it. I keep reminding her.
My right arm over here is taking care of all of the other day-to-day stuff. So it's good times, but job security. So no, you know, and I just want to say, like, it was sad, and it was, we had a couple of council members there, and it was hard for one of them to listen to some of the things that were said, because they were not true. They were, you know, some fear-mongering went on with the group about how evil North Salt Lake is, and, I mean, it was pretty rough. So it's hard not to take it personal. But I think the story that we're trying to tell is that North Salt Lake, it has grown up, and we're a really great city. We have great citizens in here, and we would welcome those citizens with open arms to become part of our community. We would certainly represent them. We'll be able to respond to their police needs better. We'd be able to patrol the area. I mean, they talked about high crime. One of the things that one person said something about that crime in their neighborhood has increased since all these townhouses went in. So they were implying that people who buy $500,000 townhouses are the ones that are breaking into their cars in their neighborhood, rather than attributing it to, well, you don't have a sheriff's deputy that's assigned a patrol down here. I mean, if it were in the city, we would have our police officers would regularly patrol the area just like they do the rest of the city, and that helps deter crime. You know, so there's a lot of things that are positives, I think, for these neighbors. There's a lot of fear-mongering. I mean, you've probably seen some of the flyers that went out. One of them said that we wanted to practically outlaw backyard marshmallow roasting. Yeah. I didn't know that I hated s'mores that much, but one of the ladies that I talked to today after the meeting was just certain that we would pass an ordinance, or that we had an ordinance that said we would have to cut down all the trees on Sycamore Lane so that we could put in sidewalks. I would never do that. I love trees. I would fight the city council if somebody wanted me to do that, but the city council doesn't want us to do that. And so there's just a lot of misinformation that's been spread out there. And but we're trying to help those people understand that this isn't a big money maker for us. We're not trying to take their land. We're not trying to tear down their houses and put up multifamily housing. But there's a lot of fear out there of the unknown, and change is hard for some people. So
we'll sounds like that open house might be a difficult but potentially very productive meeting, because they can begin to see that there's real people,
right,
who care about the community and things like that. And
which maybe, is why we wanted to do it that way, in that open house format, because it's better to talk to people one-on-one and talk to their
I like peers. I think it could be difficult. Certain personalities may not want to hear anything you have to say, but I think it'd be hopefully very productive.
I hope it will be very
productive. So, Ron, are you offering to bring me and Sherry cookies that night?
Well, there'll be cookies there.
No, but I want a good cookie.
We will have cookies there.
I just got a fire pit, so if everyone wants to come over, we'll make s'mores and take pictures and share them.
We'll just fan.
I think it would be fun to serve s'mores, but we'll bring the North Salt Lake fire barrels and put them outside.
We'll warm up some treats over the tar that's being
that would be fun
set up next to the feathers.
I mean, there's a lot of advantages. I mean, right now, as far as the county goes, people can't have chickens in those residential zones, but they do. The county doesn't have code enforcement, so that a lot of things get run down, and it's not a high priority on the county's part to enforce code enforcement. You know, so just the police presence, the snow plowing will be a lot more efficient, and hopefully they'll find better service in all of those things. But we'll see where we go over the next 6 weeks.
Sorry, and if the city council in some crazy scenario doesn't want, they somehow vote to not annex them.
The county stuck with them.
Okay.
The county doesn't want them, so they'll really pressure it.
Yeah, they've put on a lot of pressure today on that meeting. It was a lot of public clamor, a lot of clapping for every little, you know.
Yelling and crying.
Crying, yeah, a lady cried.
Man, it would be so nice if you could just explain that bountiful.
Can you email us that link once more? It's because I know you would do it.
Sure.
Thank
you. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
Anyway, that's all I have for the update on that.
All right. And we had Mr. Cannon join us here. We already did your agenda item, but if you had any questions or wanted to say anything to us. It's approved. Your item we already did.
And I have nothing to say.
Well, we're glad you're here and wanted to.
Actually, I should. It's a pleasure to meet you all. I've been before an interview before. So thank you very much for your willingness, and I apologize for thinking the meeting started at 7 instead of 6:30.
No problem. It was a smooth item, and good luck with the loop there and getting the address numbers lined up how you need them to be in that loop.
We'll see how it works.
Thank All right. You. Did you have any questions or anything for us? You're good?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Great. All right.
Hold on, Bree. One thing I wanted to note on the record is Commissioner Moss never actually joined the meeting via Zoom.
Oh, okay.
So she hasn't been present this entire time.
Okay. I did notice that I wasn't hearing her on the motions, like, open her microphone, but I wasn't sure if she was maybe responding in a chat or something. All right, so we are excusing Commissioner Moss from the meeting. And then our last item is Agenda Item 6, approval of minutes from 9:13. Any adjustments on those minutes from any commissioners? No? If not, we can do a motion.
Commissioner Jorgensen, I make the motion that we approve the minutes for the September 13, 2022 meeting as drafted.
Thank you. And a second?
It's Commissioner Stone, I second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And passes, and we are adjourned. And thank you, Andrea, for always doing such a good job on our minutes when you hear this in the recording. All right.